Well, I am so honored to have you on this episode of Regenerative Medicine Summit, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. Thank you so much for joining me.
Michael, it's great to be with you again, as always. The people who follow you know that you care about people. You care that they get not just the right information, but totally useful information. Sound very impressive and you're going to have nothing you can use them when you're done. So today, for those of you with fatigue, pain, CFS, fibromyalgia, post-COVID symptoms, any of those, we're going to teach you how immediately you can get your lives back.
And I've always been so impressed, Steve, the interactions we've had in the past, you know, how very straightforward and very practical all your information is. And it is backed up by science, by studies that you've done. So what I'd like to do just for the audience, I mean, I'm sure that the majority are familiar with your work, but I'd like to do a little bit of an intro so that they know the breadth of knowledge that you have and what you've done. So for all you viewers, Jacob Teitelbaum is one of the most frequently quoted integrative pain and fibromyalgia medical authorities in the world. He's the author of the best-selling From Fatigue to Fantastic, also Pain-Free 1-2-3, The Complete Guide to Beating Sugar Addiction, Real Cost, Real Cure, The Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Solution, Diabetes is Optional, and the popular free smartphone app Cures A through Z. He's the lead author of 8 studies on effective treatment for fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. Dr. Teitelbaum appears often as a guest on news and talk shows nationwide, including Good Morning America, The Dr. Oz Show, Oprah and Friends, CNN, Fox News Health. And you can learn more about everything that he is doing, he's done, at vitality101.com. Well, thank you so much for spending the time. I know your time is precious. You are educating people all over the world and in so many different ways. So I'm really excited about what we're going to chat about today.
Absolutely. Because, you know, we're seeing a human energy crisis of really never before seen proportions. It's really amazing. And it's kind of like how the book Tale of Two Cities started. This is the best of times, so it's the worst of times. Mm-hmm. So given the information you need, it's easy to thrive in the modern environment, but it can be a challenge otherwise.
So one of the things, I mean, we're in this kind of post-COVID, I'm not sure if we're post-COVID, but in this COVID era, you know, whatever that is. And what we've seen is that it's really hit, you're talking about energy crisis, it's really hit on the mitochondrial function, the energy production, you know, within the cell, and people have a hard time to recover. So I have patients, like I'm sure yourself, they come in and they say, yeah, I had COVID 2 years ago and I just never felt the same before. You know, I'm dealing with this pain, I'm dealing with brain fog, and my energy is just not the same. So what is your experience with that?
Well, funny you should ask it that way, because people ask, you know, what's a nice Jewish doctor like you doing in a field like natural medicine and not say chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia? And I got into it the old fashioned way. I came down with a nasty viral infection, what I call the drop dead flu. It was back in 1975. And I was paying my own way through med school, which meant that I was homeless and sleeping in parks. I had to drop out of med school. I couldn't function. You know, the professors were sweet, but totally clueless. And it's funny, I didn't even know such a thing as naturopaths exist, but herbalists, energy medicine, all these people came by and I was sitting on my park bench. It was like the universe put a holistic homeless medical school sign on my park bench. And naturopath came by and I said, there's such a field. You know, I didn't know any way as a good Jewish kid to become a healer except go to medical school. It was like, and everybody taught me bits and pieces of what I needed to learn to recover. And I spent the last 50 years researching post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, which is what post-COVID, as Dr. Fauci has noted, post-COVID syndrome is pretty much post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia.
I'm curious, and I want to go into kind of the post-COVID a little bit more, but I'm curious at that time, back in 1975, when you were dealing with what you're dealing with, What were some of the things that you did at that time to turn it around?
Well, for me, what it turned out to be was a mix of one, adrenal fatigue. My life, you know, my family was, most of them died in Auschwitz, and it was growing up in that community was challenging, to say the least. And then, like say, med school was one of the easiest parts of my life, you know, paying my way, working in nurses' hospital, in children's hospital, easy. So the adrenal fatigue was a major thing. I mean, my wife knows if I'm irritable, don't try to hug me or console me, just feed me, you know. It's so I took care of the adrenal fatigue, cut back to sugar. I was a definite sugar holic. I mean, I knew I had enough sugar in my iced tea when there's about 2 inches of precipitate and crystallized out on the bottom. So treating the candida, the yeast, nutritionally, I was paying my own way through med school. My diet in college consisted of about 2,000 hot dogs, literally, you know.
And so they're cheap and easy and quick protein, you know.
Yep. Yeah. And spaghetti made of, I could cook it in my popcorn popper that was my kitchen, and I would throw a cup of sugar on top of it. I mean, it was just crazy. So treating the nutritional deficiencies, especially B12 and other ones, were major ones. And then there's the other things. I mean, there's a whole SHINE protocol we'll talk about today for optimizing energy. But for me, those are the big three.
So then fast forward, I mean, you have educated people in regards to chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, which are directly linked with each other, and how to resolve that. So now we're stepping into, you know, people struggling with this COVID. So what are some of the impacts that you are seeing COVID having on people? Is it just the downregulation of energy, or are there other factors that play a role as well?
Well, just like most forms of post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, we are seeing hypothalamic dysfunction. The hypothalamus is an almond-sized circuit breaker in the brain, and it uses more energy for its size than any other area of the body. So when energy level drops, it starts to go to sleep and malfunction first. It's like a circuit breaker that clicks off in the face of overwhelming stress. So simply looking at what that circuit breaker controls, you know, if you look at your home and circuit breaker 37 controls living room lights and receptacles, blah, blah, blah. If you could look in the control panel for the brain and look at hypothalamus controls, it controls sleep. So people have trouble falling asleep, staying asleep, or even they can sleep 12 hours, but get non-restorative sleep. It controls hormones, thyroid, adrenal, estrogen, progesterone, antidiuretic hormone. Across the board, the hormones are low, despite the blood test being normal. We can talk about the problem with testing later. It controls autonomic function. We're a big bag of water. We stand up, gravity sends it all down to our legs. We have the autonomic system that sends out blood back up to our brain and muscles and heart. That malfunctions. So many people will get this racing heart. They'll get the shortness of breath. They'll get things along those lines. Most of this relates to that circuit breaker going down from low energy. So if you have the combination and muscles, when muscles don't have enough energy, because as the energy level goes down, the next thing, muscles that don't have enough energy don't go loose. They go tight. They get short and stuck in a shortened position. That's why after a heavy workout, you don't come home and say, honey, the workout I had, my muscles are all loose and limp. No, they're all tight. So you'll see widespread pain that may shift all around the body. So brain fog, perhaps trouble sleeping, exhaustion, and what's called post-exertional malaise. You overdo, and that could be walking a mile in some people or less. You'll be bedridden for 2-3 days. So these are kind of the hallmarks, and they're going to see the shortness of breath, numbness and tingling in the fingers, all this other stuff too. But that's just wisps of smoke off the main fire. You address the energy crisis, and we'll talk about how. And our published research shows that 91% of people improve with an average 90% increase in quality of life. And this is randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled published research.
That's incredible. I mean, that's absolutely incredible. I mean, if you look at, you know, the medical options that are out there to treat this, they have nothing, exactly zero. They really have nothing.
They don't even know how to define the population yet. The definition of long haulers or post-COVID is any persistent symptom after 3 months. That's insane. You can't even design a study because they haven't broken into chronic fatigue fibromyalgia group, people with pneumonia and lung damage, people with heart damage. They haven't even broken it down into the subsets. It will be 20 years before they have much that's useful, but at least now they're spending the money. They've increased the research funding for post-viral chronic fatigue by 100-fold because of COVID.
Yeah, I can imagine. And then talking about the brain, and you're saying the hypothalamus, which is, you know, like the breaker for the whole hormonal system, for the whole body. And it also seems to be kind of like the pathway between your emotional, mental, and then your physical. So I see a lot of patients coming in, you know, post-COVID, having done severe anxiety, and I was kind of thinking to myself, you know, like inability to fall asleep, that is such a common scenario, you know, depression, anxiety, inability to sleep for these people. So you can see that just by addressing the energy crisis within the brain and then fueling up that hypothalamus, what an impact that will have on the rest of the body.
And let me give one other piece too, because I talk about the hypothalamus, but it's part of a bigger, what's called the limbic system. Mm-hmm. And it's going to include the adrenaline and its balancing thing, the vagal nerve. It's going to affect a lot of things. We'll talk about mostly the biochemistry, herbal and even medication things you can do, nutrients to improve energy. But you can also reset the circuit breaker. There are a couple techniques. I like one called ANS, or Autonomic Nervous System Rewire, by Dan Neufer, which is brilliant. Dynamic Neural Retraining System is another one. These are things that you do home exercises an hour a day, and after 2 months, they can reset the nervous system and the autonomic and limbic system. So we're going to talk about the biochemistry here today. We're also going to talk about this magic word, which is no, which is critical for setting boundaries. And in fact, let's talk about it now. If somebody asks you to do something, because this is an illness that tends to affect people who have trouble saying no, they have trouble defending their boundaries. And that's one reason they get an energy crisis. So let me give you the short version. If something feels bad to you, if somebody asks, can you do this, and it feels bad, I'm going to play the all-knowing MD with a scepter of righteousness and all-knowing authority given by the government of the United States and our crazy world, and say, thou shalt have permission to say no to anything that feels bad. Okay, good. Now you can blame it on the doctor said to say no, and then they won't keep jerking you around. If it doesn't feel good, then to have integrity and authenticity, your responsibility is to say no. Now, there may be things where you hate doing it. When I did my medical residency, it sucked. I mean, it was kind of basically this crazy gauntlet, but it still felt better to do it than not, because that's the path I needed. You know, if you may not quit your job because you decide it's better not to be homeless, or you may quit it and find something else. But again, your brain won't tell you. Your brain doesn't know who you are. It's a computer program that's programmed by media, parents, society, everything else. Your feelings know what's authentic to you. If something feels that makes you want to grind your teeth and run, just say no. That is an important first step, not just to healing, but to authenticity.
I love that, because when we don't draw boundaries, it's kind of like a boat that's leaking. You know, we continually have to get the water out of the boat, because we are seeping out all that energy out of the system. So we continually have to deal with that, and especially, you know, we're talking about, you know, we talked about the hypothalamus, and we know the brain in itself uses about 30% of all of your energy throughout your whole body. So, you know, the impact that it's going to have on you by not protecting your energy is tremendous. And I love how you talk about the limbic system, because the limbic system, you know, a lot of people dealing with chronic fatigue, they have these kind of that where the limbic system is just, it is operating not optimally, and this way we're continually, you know, leaking energy out of our system as well.
Not optimally is a gracious euphemism. it's the tank. So let's take a look at how we optimize energy biochemically. We've talked about mind, body, spirit kind of things. We talked about resetting the nervous system. But the protocol for optimizing energy can be summarized with the word shine. S-H-I-N-E. So that stands for optimizing. And if you don't have a, write this down. If you don't have a piece of paper, write it on your forearm. This is critical. To optimize energy, whether you just have day-to-day fatigue, whether you have pain, whether you have chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, post-COVID, it's just different degrees of mild versus intensive care. S is for sleep. We'll talk about how to optimize sleep when the sleep center is not working. H is hormonal support and hypotension. That's the autonomic problem and hormones. I is infections. N is nutritional support. And E is exercise as able. And most of you out there with chronic fatigue syndrome know if you do too much exercise, like in the crazy studies they try to put out there, saying just exercise. And my response to them is just go to hell. You know, you know, they're going to put people on bedridden for 3 days. And they do that. But you, but if you don't do any because you're afraid of the post-exertional malaise, you're going to be deconditioned. So E is exercise as able, even if it's 50 steps a day. Everybody's different. Some can do a mile or two, some can't get out of bed. But at the end of the day, even people who are bedridden find that they often get healthy with this protocol.
So let's go through then the different steps. I mean, because I think it's really important for people to understand how to maximize and how to address these different areas. You know, obviously, you know, shine starts with S, and I feel that S is the most important of all of them. I mean, there's so much regeneration, detoxification, you know, nervous system rebalancing that takes place when you're sleeping. Mm-hmm. And obviously when you're dealing with pain, you're dealing with anxiety, you know, that is the first one to go. So how do you, when you have somebody not able to sleep, you know, dealing with these things, you know, how do you guide them to improve their sleep and to break that pattern?
Number one, make time for sleep. It helps to know that what the average night's sleep has been for most of human history. Until light bulbs were invented, the average night's sleep in the United States was 9 hours a night. We're now down to 6.5. That's a 30% pay cut. And you talk about the thing, poor sleep also, I'll add, results in an average 30% higher risk of obesity, average 6.5-pound weight gain, results in chronic pain. Poor sleep causes pain, causes immune dysfunction, and the list goes on and on. So first, make the time for sleep. And I recommend you do that by keeping the things you enjoy and getting rid of the things you don't enjoy. One of the things that will help you feel so much healthier to begin with getting rid of is there's this bad habit that we call euphemistically the news. And it's a fiction on both sides. And I'm on the news and they really like me. And if I'm quoted correctly 20% of the time, that's a lot. It is a fiction. And I love fiction. I'm science fiction, fantasy. I'm a geek's geek. And you know, I love reading it, but I prefer my fiction to be labeled fiction. Right now, the stuff we get in the news, and again, don't care if you're liberal or conservative. My politics is that the right wing and left wing are part of the same bird. And this whole divisiveness is basically making people afraid and hating each other for profit. I recommend, and your adrenal glands will thank me, your body will thank me, you take that time and use it for sleep. There's a simple Tai Chi move. If you're watching or reading the news or anything equivalent on the media, and you find you're grinding your teeth and it starts feeling bad, remember, it feels bad, start saying no. Take a big breath. Center, your hands together, reach out, grab the remote and click off. Okay, and take that time and use it for sleep. So number one, make the time.
I love that Tai Chi move. Yeah, it's
awesome, isn't it? You know? So, you know, so make the time. Number two, how do you sleep when your sleep snow is not working? Now, one simple thing, you can get sleep masks. Get them for $10, $15 on Amazon, easy to find. That actually shuts down even a little bit of light, night lights, keeps the sympathetic, the adrenaline system on, keeps it from shutting down at night. Get a sleep mask. It'll be a start on improving sleep quality. Melatonin. I like one that's called EP120 sustained release melatonin, 10 milligrams. That helps people stay asleep. You wake up 2 a.m. like, it sounds like everybody with fibromyalgia has this alarm clock that rings 2 to 4 a.m. Also get a protein, underlying protein snack at bedtime, like a hard-boiled egg, to maintain your blood sugars while you're sleeping.
Because I've seen that a lot with patients when their adrenals are fatigued and they are not able to hold the blood sugar through the night. Mm-hmm. And then so you have this adrenal burst in the middle of the night to try to drive up the blood sugar when they have a dip in blood sugar. So, you know, so the eating something, you know, at night protein. Like that, it really will help to balance the blood sugar throughout.
Yep, hard-boiled egg, protein. Now, the flip side of that coin is some of you will find that you're exhausted all day, and 10 a.m., 10 p.m. at night, suddenly your mind is wide awake and racing. In fact, for some of you, the only 4 hours a day that you're alive and functional is 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. because your day-night cycle has shifted, the circadian rhythm. And for some of you, if you're disabled, not able to work, go with it. Use that time. But for those whose minds are wide awake at bedtime, the cortisol is usually too high, so the mind can't shut down. Phosphatidylserine, 100 to 300 milligrams at bed, about 90 minutes before bedtime. You'll know in 2 to 3 nights if it's helping. But again, you do that, do the protein snack, because too high cortisol at bedtime means it will plummet when you're sleeping and drop your blood sugar and it'll get hypoglycemic and adrenaline released, wake up. So that's another thing to try. Two herbal mixes. There's one called the Revitalizing Sleep Formula, mixes 6 herbs and nutrients. That's what I take myself. It's awesome for sleep. I take that along with the EP120 melatonin. Terrific ZZZZ for essential oils, very good for sleep. Hemp oil, very helpful for those who are like that. So there's a bunch of natural things, the smell of lavender, a drop of lavender oil, on your upper lip, below your nose. But for people with CFS and fibromyalgia or post-COVID, they're going to usually need medications in addition. Start with the natural stuff, but I will give very low doses, like 25 milligrams of trazodone, 2.5 milligrams of 5 of Flexeril, 100 to 300 of gabapentin. And my book, The From Fatigue to Fantastic, shameless plug, that's a book over the shoulder there, goes through over 30 natural and prescription things and just how to get good solid sleep. It'll also, if you have sleep apnea, restless leg syndrome, teach you, upper airway resistance syndrome, teach you how to take care of all those things too.
And for the people that are concerned in regards to sleeping medication and being habit forming, and so what do you say to that? I mean, is there a way you start with this pattern, and then as you start and then you improve, you have then you're in a place where now you can start to decrease and then bringing in more of the natural things, you know, as you shift.
You start with the natural things, which are not an issue with that. And then you're going to find that most of the addictive sleep potents like Valium family medications or Dalmain and those I won't use. There's rare exceptions. It's a whole nother thing. Very low dose of Clonopin actually are an NMDA receptor antagonist, blah, 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 0.25 milligram, blah, can be helpful. But the ones I just mentioned, none of those are addictive in the dosing that we're using.
Wonderful. And so moving forward then, you know, the hormones, we've talked about the hypothalamus, and obviously that is a key player in the regulation of the whole hormonal system, the whole endocrine pathway, you know, through the pituitary and through so forth. So tell, and you mentioned adrenals, you know, they obviously play, you know, a big role with energy and dealing with stress and so forth. So how do you address that when an individual comes in, they're dealing with these issues, you know, where do you start and, you know, how do you investigate that?
I start by telling them that the blood tests are not reliable. They'll come and say, I saw, the doctor said my TSH was normal. Okay. In hypothalamic dysfunction, the research shows that the TSH is totally unreliable. It is what is described as a piece of crap test. It's useless, near useless anyway. In fact, when I was lecturing at the annual world conference that we'd have in different countries each year on fibromyalgia, so I was one of the guest speakers, I was speaking with the main researcher on thyroid function and fibromyalgia, and I asked Gunther, our Professor Neek, is the TSH test reliable in fibromyalgia? He said, absolutely not. You know, it just isn't, but that's all that most doctors will use. So, and the normal range, most doctors don't know where the normal range comes from. I'll lecture to 400 doctors at a time. I love asking this question. Because these doctors, they would rather you stay at home to send the test results. And if it's in the normal range, you're fine. So if they're relying that much on the normal range, they should know. And you may want to ask them the question when they say the test is normal. It's like, well, doctor, where does the normal range come from? And they may pause for a moment. Then they may look at you like a deer in the headlights. And they say, well, the experts say there's no problem if the test is normal. No, the way the normal range is derived is a statistical norm called two standard deviations, blah, blah, blah. What it means, they take 100 people, healthy people, they do the test, and the 95 in the middle are defined as the normal range. That's it. So, for example, if you look at the normal range for income, $8,100 a year would be in the normal range. But that's poverty. Our normal range would define 3/4 of people in poverty as being normal. A normal shoe size is size 5 to 13. You put me in a size 6 shoe, the doctor's going to say, that shoe is normal, Jacob. I can't get my toe in the damn thing. I wear a size 12, you know. So the tests are just not reliable. They're helpful to tell the doctor where you are in a group of 100 people where you fall. So, you know, if you happen to be a 7-foot-tall, 300-pound Texan, and you're in a size 6 shoe, even though it's normal, you see you're on the lowest 10% of the population, well, that's not likely to be a good match, you know. So how do you tell? Thyroid. Thyroid, achy, weight gain, cold intolerant. Any two of those, I'm going to give a trial of thyroid hormone and see if it helps. I can add infertility. I can add constipation. I can add a whole host of things. Miscarriages. That's funny. It's not tragic, more than funny. They show that if people have a positive test for thyroid inflammation, which affects 12% of women, they are 4 times as likely to miscarriage, even if the thyroid free T4 blood test is normal. But they check the inflammation test and they see it's positive. And all they have to do is give 5 cents a day worth of T4, 50 micrograms of thyroid hormone. It totally abolishes the increase in miscarriages.
So the test for the inflammation, are those the antibodies or reverse T3?
TPO antibodies.
Yeah, okay.
And for those of you who have infertility issues, I have a bunch of information sheets. You can email my personal address is fatigue, F-A-T-I-G-U-E, D-O-C, like doctor, @gmail.com. You can ask for the infertility information sheet. If you have the fatigue or post-COVID, you can ask for the post-COVID information sheet. You can ask for the orthostatic intolerance information sheet. Any of you with reflex sympathetic dystrophy, now called CRPS, you can ask for that information sheet. For those of you with no money and you wonder, how do I get well from CFS and fibromyalgia when I'm broke? You can ask for the got no money, how do I get well information sheet? So these are all things that we could do shows on each of these on their own, but you can ask for that. And I'll just happily send it to you. There's no charge for any of that. So just so I can focus on the other things. So thyroid, achy, weight gain, cold intolerant, you deserve a trial of thyroid hormone. You don't adjust it to the blood test. You adjust it to what feels best. And then you check a free T4 blood test to make sure that it's in the normal range for safety.
So when they do that and they have a medical doctor, the TSH is like 0.01 something.
But the hypothalamic dysfunction, the TSH will normally be low if you're getting the proper dose of thyroid. The free T4 should be checked. That may be low too if you're getting desiccated thyroid. That's okay as long as the free T4 is not high. All of the other tests when you're getting armor or desiccated thyroid are pretty much meaningless.
So the only, like you're saying, the free T4, if that one is elevated,
lower the dose.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm adjusting it to what feels best rather than to the test.
Yeah, exactly. And all of the concerns in regards to osteoporosis. And
the studies show that if the TSH, there's no study showing that as long as the free T4 is not in the upper 10th percentile or higher, that a low TSH will cause osteoporosis. It is not more thyroid, more bone loss. It's more thyroid, no change. When you get to the upper 10th percentile of that normal range, then bone density loss occurs. Okay. And if somebody's in the top 10%, they're too high as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And you would notice that, you know, irritability, agitation, harder to sleep, you know, heart racing. Check, yeah.
Yeah. And I'll check the free T4 anyway, just to be sure.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and this is huge. I mean, for all the people, all the women that are wanting to become pregnant, I mean, it should just be medical practice to test antibodies.
a routine test. Every woman who's looking to get pregnant should check a TPO antibody, and they should also check a testosterone level or DHEA sulfate. If the latter two are high, they should consider polycystic ovarian syndrome. Metformin blocks the problem with infertility, and the increased miscarriages reverses that. If they have a positive TPO antibody, they should be on Synthroid at least 50 micrograms so that to take care of the infertility issues that come from the low thyroid and the threefold increase, fourfold increase in miscarriages. Totally reverses that with a little bit of thyroid. But thyroid is so cheap. I was like, no, nobody's paying $400 million to the FDA to prove and get it okay for that nickel's worth of thyroid. We're not going to give it. Well, they can go screw off. Go to a doctor who cares about you and not preaching the religion of medicine, which says only that which is insanely expensive enough to go through the $400 billion FDA process and then be advertised to physicians is allowed to be used. Mm-hmm. That's medicine's religion. That's what it boils down to. Anything natural is not patentable, cannot go through the FDA process, mm-hmm. and gets blown off. And this is, you know, how our medical system works. But anyway, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's insane.
Move on to adrenal before I get hypoglycemic.
Exactly.
forgive me if I get a little bit dramatic.
just thinking of FDA is making my adrenals, yeah, go
they're
down.
They're good people. They're good people. But Congress has given them laws, and you're looking right now. They're trying to make it that Medicare can even negotiate drug prices. It's insane. Only place in the world where that's illegal. And the drug companies are overtly in the media threatening them that anybody who votes that Medicare should be allowed to negotiate drug prices, they can expect that in the next election, they're going to have a slam, you know, big money campaign against them. It's basically terrorism. Mm-hmm. And they're all good people. I never met anybody in the industry at the FDA or the pharmaceutical industry who wasn't loved. They're all good people. Mm-hmm. This system's broken. Let me give a little plug. If you want to help fix this, go to a website, oneminutefix.org, and sign the petition. It'll give you more information. That will be a start on our representatives being able to support and represent us instead of only business. But anyway, that's another thing too. Should we go to adrenal for those of you out there?
I would love, yeah, because adrenals, obviously, yeah, thyroid and adrenals. I mean, those are your two energy producing glands. So yeah,
and the blood testing for adrenal is meant to gear. Is it so low that it can kill you, literally?
Yeah.
Anything in between, you can be bedridden. That's no problem.
No.
You know, if the cortisol is over 6 in the morning, you're fine. Most people are on 18, 6.1. Normal range, no problem. 5.9, life-threatening. 6.1 is fine. And if you do two tests on the same tube of blood on the same person, they will normally be about 4 points different. Same test, same tube of blood. Really? 5.9, deadly. 6.1, no problem. So the tests are iffy. How do I diagnose it? Just what I told you before. Do you get irritable when hungry? Do you tend to get frequent infections that take a long time to go away? You know, those kind of symptoms, I'm going to give a trial. And I simply give a supplement called Adrenaplex. Mm-hmm. Adrenaplex is awesome. It smooths it right out. Now, if you have high blood pressure, adrenal support can raise it. So be a little careful with that. But the Adrenaplex is outstanding. There's an energy nutrient we just finished a study on that. I haven't published it yet. Called Smart Energy System. It's a mix of ribose, ashwagandha, rhodiola, green tea extracts, gazandra, and licorice, which also dramatically supports adrenal function. Increased energy in the study, over 70%. 60% of people were better. With an average increase, stamina went up, I think, 78% on average. So simple things you can do are start with the Smart Energy System and take the Adrenaplex. And you will find within 2 weeks, 3 weeks, your energy will be much stabler. Your mood will be more stable. And it is way cheaper than divorce lawyers or marriage counseling.
I agree with you. Talk a little bit about ribose. You know, you had ribose in that ingredient. And what is that and what does it do?
Ribose is a backbone of energy production. If you look at ATP, which is the energy molecule, if you eat food, your body can't just burn it for energy. It has to turn it into energy molecules like ATP, NADH, FAD, all of those. Those are all made of ribose as the backbone and one of the B vitamins and phosphate. That's all these energy batteries are. And when we go into an energy crisis, our body loses ribose. It's so busy trying to make energy that it basically turns two of them to get to charge one battery cell instead of the usual one, and then it loses them. It has to dump it as a in a desperate attempt to try to make any energy. Bottom line is, with low energy, people become ribose deficient. And we've done published two studies now. One was a study of a large number of medical centers together, about 256 people, increased energy an average of 61%. I just have people take the one scoop a day, but the ribose is already in the smart energy system. You get the other five nutrients too. I would just easy. If I had to have, for those of you with fatigue, you want to start with three things that will take you less than a minute a day, not overly expensive. Get something called the Energy Revitalization System Vitamin Powder. It's over 50 nutrients in one drink. It places literally over 35 pills. I'll give you a challenge. If you can get in what's one drink in less than 35 pills, most people takes about 60, I'll give you a free bottle. Yeah. And then the smart energy system, add a scoop of ribose to that powder and the two capsules. And then HRG 80 red ginseng chewables. We just, that study was published a few months ago, and that increased energy also about 70% on average. That's the one thing I have on my desk. I could reach over and do that. If I'm having a busy day, like today, but I will go ahead and get the HRG red ginseng, but I will get the chewables because the chewables are four times as effective by milligram as the capsules. So the capsules are really good, but I get the chewables because it makes it cheap. And I just take one half of one once or twice a day. And in case you can't tell, I'm not quite like little kids with sugar on that, but it's healthy energy. And it's, you know, these three things, the energy revitalization system, smart energy system, and the HRG 80 red ginseng, that's the only brand I would use. You're looking at one drink and three pills a day. Mm-hmm. And for most people, you'll find it will double your energy and it'll be healthy energy, along with a lot of other side benefits. So that's a nice, simple place to begin. You can find, I think you can buy most of these on Amazon. You can find them, best price you're going to find is endfatigue.com. But these will change your life.
Yeah. And so we talked about the thyroid, talked about the adrenals. Does working on the adrenals and bleed into these, the sex steroids, like, you know, the ovaries, your testes, or do you need to function, you know, focus on them as well in addition to, or does that just become like a downstream effect?
All of these things help each other because they're all interrelated. But how do you tell from the blood tests if they need sex hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone? 70% of men who have fibromyalgia are in the lowest 30th percentile for testosterone, not in the lowest 2.5 percentile because they're not 90 years old, but they're in the lowest 30th percentile. Work by Professor Hilary White of Dartmouth showed that in women, even with normal testosterone levels who have fibromyalgia, if she gave a little testosterone cream, their pain got much less. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to check the blood test, but I'm not going to rely on the blood test. How do I tell if a woman comes in? How do I tell if they need estrogen? And again, when I say the hormones, I'm talking bioidentical, not this poison that was patentable and therefore pushed to all the doctors. Simple question, is your fibromyalgia worse around your menses? That's when your estrogen, progesterone are dropping. If those hormones are dropping and your insomnia and pain and brain fog and energy go down the tank, suggests that low estrogen and progesterone are contributing. Do you have vaginal dryness, night flashes, things like that? I'll go ahead and give the hormones. And I will add testosterone in women unless they're in the upper half of the population in terms of their testosterone level, because it'll help their pain. In men, again, if the testosterone level is under 540, not under 220 or so, at under 540 if they have erectile dysfunction, decreased libido, metabolic syndrome, which is increased abdominal girth, prediabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, any of those things, I'm going to optimize their testosterone.
Yeah, that's such a key to look at the hormonal system as a whole and not just focus on one component, because they all are interrelated and they all work together. Mm-hmm. So moving then to kind of the next, the I component, and obviously we talked about post-COVID, talked about viral, but we have other types of infections as well that can really sap the energy out of the system. So what are some of the things that you see that are the most common to address?
Well, understand that let me mention under H first, that hypotension, which is POTS, orthostatic intolerance, you stand up, the blood rushes to your head. If you get lightheaded, you get brain foggy, a racing heart. The easiest thing, email me at fatiguedoc@gmail.com, ask for the low blood pressure orthostatic intolerance information sheet. There'll be two simple tests you can do at home that screen for that, and that'll tell you how to treat it. Okay, so let's look at the infections. The immune system is down. It's shifted in a way that the certain infections are able to hide, and that causes problems. And most of these kind of infections are not things that you can put on a culture dish and grow them 24 hours later. And that's all we knew how to do tests for. I'm grossly oversimplifying that. But by and large, we're looking for acute, not chronic infections in most of our tests. So viral infections. If somebody had a viral onset, basically like me, they had drop dead flu, and they keep having viral symptoms, and especially if they have the orthostatic intolerance and flu-like symptoms, especially when they push, I'm going to address the adrenal, but I will consider the combination of the medications Famvir and Celebrex. And I'll do those for 4 to 6 months, and they can help reverse that. Most important infection in CFS and fibromyalgia, candida overgrowth. There's no test I would give a nickel for. The way that I tell, I ask, do you have postnasal drip? Do you have chronic sinus or nasal congestion? Do you have irritable bowel syndrome, gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation? If you have any of those in people with CFS and fibromyalgia, I am going to give a good probiotic. I'm going to go ahead, and I like the pearls because those don't get killed by stomach acid. So there's ones that have a pearl coating. I will go ahead, berberine and other antifungals. There's a nice berberine met X, which is a wonderful way. And for those with metabolic syndrome or diabetes, for those with diabetes, my book, Diabetes is Optional, the berberine MetX high absorption and the Sucontrol D, those two often brings blood sugar way down, and optimizing testosterone in men. High testosterone in women can cause diabetes, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, Diflucan, 200 milligrams a day for 6 to 8 weeks. I'm sorry, but 3 days of 100 milligrams is not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And this might it'll clear, you know, the vaginal yeast infection, but it's not going to get the gut and the sinuses. And you do that, there's a compounded sinusitis nose spray from ITC Pharmacy that doctors can call in. This is all in the book and it simplifies it. But that will knock out the sinusitis and the irritable bowel syndrome in most people, and also help fibromyalgia dramatically. Remember, the size of the organism, if a virus, you know, drawing its scale, was the size of a period at the end of a sentence, a bacteria might be the size of a room in my home. The candida organism is bigger than a city block. These guys are massive, and it's hard on the immune system. It causes leaky gut. So the first one I'm going to go after is the candida in most people CFS and fibro. Then we talked about the viral things, antibiotic, you know, there's all kinds of antibiotic sensitive infections. We could do 5 shows on Lyme, and I'm sure you're going to have other people talking about that. So I'm just going to say, if you have a history of you're allergic to multiple unrelated antibiotics and nothing else, that's not an allergy. You're killing something off and flaring. Do you have lung congestion that's chronic? Do you have scalp sores that usually responds to Zithromax? When you pass gas from candida, because yeast grow by fermenting, you know, sugar, and that's why you get very gassy with a candida, but it doesn't have much smell. if you have the silent but deadly smell, that sulfur smell, that's likely small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. I'm going to go after that infection. But for the Lyme disease, I don't know of any tests that I consider reliable. I'm going to go, do you have a history? Did you ever take an antibiotic where you felt better, your CFS felt better when you took it? Yes, I'm going to give that to you for an extended period while covering the candida. So I'm going to recognize we don't know with the tests. And I'm going to treat empirically based on the symptoms in response to treatment. And then for Lyme's, Michael, you could discuss that. Like I say, that's a whole nother three shows. So I'll leave that to the Lyme literate doctors.
Yeah. And then I have a podcast called Integrative Lyme Solution with Dr. Carl Felt. And it's you can fill volumes of the information in regard to Lyme and what to do and so forth. So and you're absolutely right. I mean, a lot of times you know, the test is, do I feel better on like doxycycline or some antibiotic? And if I do, then that's a good indication. And it's more kind of symptom, you know, looking at it empirically rather than any kind of test.
Now, here's the thing though, Michael. What you see a lot, I bet, is you give people the antibiotic and they get better. But then after a while, they get worse again. And you keep bumping the antibiotics and adding more different ones and going after more co-infections. What's often happening is the antibiotic is killing something or it's helping microglial activation, but either way. But then what's happening is it's triggering candida overgrowth that's taking the person back down again. If you simply treat the 6 weeks of Diflucan, again, with Cipro, you have to be careful, but the other antibiotics, most of them will play well with that. And then have them take the Diflucan 400 milligrams one day a week to keep the candida in check, along with maybe the berberine Med-X. You're not going to see this continued chasing. It's like chasing a drug high in terms of more and more antibiotics. Because as you push up the antibiotic, the yeast stop dying and the symptoms improve. So again, my 2 cents worth is kill those bugs, but keep the candida in check while you're doing so.
Yeah. And that is where you get so hyper-focused. And I see this a lot of doctors, a lot of patients, you get hyper-focused on the Lyme that you forget everything else around it. And just because you get some traction with Lyme, you know, using an antibiotic, you keep, you know, riding that horse, even though it has changed completely, you know, within the system. So,
and again, the Lyme and the other toxin producing bacteria will suppress the hypothalamus. Mm-hmm. When you add the SHINE protocol to the Lyme literate doctor's protocols, you see some magic happening in your life.
And I hear that story again and again, that yes, you want to go after the infection, but at the same time, you need to work on the hormones. You need to turn on the energy using nutrients, because if you are energy deficient, you're not going to be able to battle any kind of infection, or your immune system is going to be not functional. So yeah, so that's key. So let's move then into the nutrients. I know we talked a lot about some of the things to turn on the mitochondria for energy.
But let's talk about basic diet stuff. Most of the people listening, you already know food is food and junk is junk, and you know the difference. So we don't have to talk, I don't think, about whole foods versus eating Snicker bars. Generally, though, you want to keep sugar low. Stevia, interestingly, stevia, for those who have a taste for it, I think it's genetic, like whether you squeeze toothpaste from the middle or put the cap on. But there's some people who really love the taste of stevia. My wife and I are one of those. My wife hasn't added a teaspoon of sugar to her food in 20 years. But the stevia, you can get your pleasure. I like feeding my sweet tooth. They have all these flavored stevias. Stevia, interestingly enough, is anti-Lyme, especially if you get the whole leaf type of stevia. So stevia is okay, but cut back sugar. Otherwise, eat what leaves you feeling the best. Increase salt intake. Unless you have heart failure, with hypertension, salt restriction lowers blood pressure in whites 1 millimeter. If you totally salt restrict to where from a very high diet to intolerable, your blood pressure drops 1 millimeter. Okay. If you're black, it'll drop 3 millimeters. No. increase potassium intake, increase vitamin D and magnesium. But for most of us who don't have the heart failure, high salt, if your body is craving salt, it's because it wants it. I'm not saying eat Lipton cup of salt soup. I'm saying, you know, not the process, but use a salt shaker. Use a good sea salt. Salt is more than sodium chloride to me.
Yeah, because you need, I mean, you have the electrolytes, obviously, if you look at a battery, in order to be able to move energy within that battery, you need electrolytes. And so if you don't have the potassium, the sodium, the chloride, you're not going to be able to, to kind of charge that battery within your cell.
Yes. And if your adrenal or blood pressure maintaining systems are not working, your orthostatic intolerance, you salt restrict, you will crash and burn.
Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because you have the scenario of POTS, for instance, which is what you're talking about, and then you have the swelling in the feet. So then you think, well, I shouldn't do salt because I already have swelling. So you're saying it is the opposite. You should do salt to support your adrenal function and support your energy.
If your body likes to taste the salt and wants it, it's usually because you need it.
Mm-hmm. So in regards to nutrients, the electrolytes, salt, that is kind of the key, obviously, low sugar.
Those are starts.
What's that?
That's just the starting point.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
That gets you out of the gate. People ask me, what vitamin or mineral do I need? And the answer is, by definition, all of them. Okay. And that's why it was funny. I don't take money from any of these companies, and the royalties that I make for designing things, I'll go to charity and stuff. But I started 15, 20 years ago. I went into what's now Nature's Way. And I said, look, I'm tired of people having to take handfuls of pills just to get the basic vitamins and minerals they need each day. Because again, the food processing in the American diet strips literally half of the vitamins and minerals, leaves the calories, but takes out half the micronutrients. And you have some doctors out there say, well, it goes out in the urine, so you're just making expensive urine. I say, you guys are right. When you drink water, it goes out in the urine. Stop that. And then when we die off, everybody else can start doing what they need to get well. But anyway, so you need all of them. And the RDA, or ridiculous dietary allowances, yes, they will be enough to keep you from getting scurvy and beriberi. But they're not optimal. So there's the energy revitalization system vitamin powder. You look at, it'll have 50 key nutrients at optimal levels in one drink. That's where you don't have to take handfuls of pills. That's for everybody, unless you have kidney failure and you have to be careful taking magnesium. But that's what I take each morning. Now, some people find that that's a strong nutrient because it has high dose C, high dose magnesium, it has prebiotics. If it causes gas or loose stools, that's a problem, then take clinical essentials instead. But take some zinc with it. There's a supplement called ViraPro. When COVID is going around through town, I'm not overly worried about COVID. It's something that warrants caution, but it's been turned into 9/11, 20 years later, people, every time they wanted people to be able to be manipulated, go 9/11, 9/11. And they realized, oh, nobody cares anymore. COVID, So yes, it's an important thing. And again, there's arguments on both sides and the rest. Most of there's nonsense on both sides too. But what we forget is 40% of people with COVID to almost half have no symptoms whatever. If you have six people in a household with somebody has COVID, only one of the other people will get it. Our own immune system is an important part of determining how we do with COVID. And what I'm going to do is I do my vitamin powder. But if COVID's going through town, I'm going to take ViraPro, which is an elderberry and other nutrients that really optimize immunity. And I don't really worry about it. I do common sense and caution. But, it's not the plague. The plague, bubonic plague, black plague, killed one half of the adult population. One in two people, adults, died. That's a plague. This killed less than 1% of the population, the vast majority being 70 and over. So this takes common sense. It takes, and again, you can make arguments for or against the vaccine. I'm not here. Do which one feels best to you, but what I'm saying is do what you need so your body doesn't get into trouble, and develop the long COVID. Because again, for those of you, I know we're kind of probably running out of time to discuss it, but I have a nice 4,000 word article on how to address persistent COVID symptoms. You can email me at fatigue doc@gmail.com. Ask for the post-COVID long COVID information sheet. I'll send that over to you. But again, what we talked about today was post-viral CFS and fibromyalgia. So we've talked about how to do that. If you have the lung inflammation, something called Curamed, because post-COVID, what you're seeing is free radical and oxidative stress to a large degree. Clinical glutathione, CuraPro, these are things that turn that off. Low-dose naltrexone, brilliant. And strangely enough, and I can't explain why, but ivermectin, whether people have it post-viral or post-vaccine, I've seen about as many people get post-vaccine CFS. And I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm pro a sane use of vaccines. As get it from the COVID. It's a strange thing. You know, we'll see both. The ivermectin seems to work. 27 milligrams a day for 4 or 5 days. We often see dramatic improvement. I don't know why. On the vaccine, I can't explain that. But Janet Travell, who's one of my mentors, I hold her so, you know, she said, look, first you see what is, then you explain it. Because if you only see what you can understand, you won't see anything new. This is one of those, I can't explain why it is, but I've seen over and over that it is.
And that's how science moves forward, is that we observe something in nature, and then we try to figure out why it's doing it, and then we try to explain it.
But in the interim, it's dirt cheap, it's safe, and if it helps, I'm going to use it. I will note the controversial nature, but if those are interested in it, but it's just one of a very big piece. Low-dose naltrexone, other things like that, very, very helpful. Mm-hmm. But what you'll find is that right now, there's this big push to attack anything low-cost related to COVID because it threatens profits from the high-cost things. And I'm sad to say so, but these are all very nice people, good folks. But the misinformation, the common denominator is that if it's cheap, the research is ignored or attacked, or set up to fail. You'll see a study on ivermectin being designed at Duke University. Nice study, good size. I was all excited. I looked it up in clinicaltrials.gov. And for the study group, the ivermectin will be administered within 10 days of having a positive test. What? This can be 2 weeks into the disease that they're starting the treatment that has to be started within 3 days. It's a study designed to fail. The lead author, I'm sure it's a very nice woman, is one of the key people in charge of Duke's research program. And they get, by my estimate, about $600 million in research funding controlled by the pharmaceutical industry, whether it's through the NIH indirectly or directly. And, you know, I find that the common denominators, these things that are misinformation, all seem to have that in common. They're protecting pharmaceutical profits. And I'm not saying anything bad. Pharmaceutical people are really good people. But I'm saying we have a problem.
Yeah, exactly. And when we allow money to rule our medical decisions, yeah, then this is where we end up. Yeah, it's not for the benefit of the people. So, nutrition obviously is key, and then exercise. We're talking a little bit about that, and it's exercise according to your ability. Obviously, if you're talking about the muscles fibers being tight, and if you then start to push those muscle fibers when you're dealing with fibromyalgia post-COVID or whatever it is, then they're not going to respond very well. So you can just do what it is that you can do.
If you feel wiped out the next day, bedridden for the next day or two, you did too much, ease back. But on this protocol, energy production will skyrocket, and then people will be able to condition instead of just crashing.
Yeah, because then you're then able to feed the muscles and the cells that are controlling the muscles, the muscle fiber, with the nutrients that they need in order to be able to regenerate, repair, and elongate, and be able to respond better to any kind of exercise that you're doing.
Your whole body.
Yeah, exactly. So for exercise, I mean, are there certain types that you promote more than others? Walking?
Walk in the sunshine.
Yeah.
Not if it's 95 degrees outside, but again, sunshine makes vitamin D. Sunshine is healthy. The advice to avoid sunshine is insane. The proper advice is avoid sunburn, not sunshine. So you go out for a walk, get your sunshine, and once you're up to walking an hour a day, you want to increase the intensity. Yeah, you go for it. If you can't even walk very much at all, find a warm water pool where the buoyancy will help recondition.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Teitelbaum, you're such a wealth of knowledge, and yeah, I strongly urge the viewers to get your books. I mean, especially From Fatigue to Fantastic. Yeah, that's an incredible insight, just filled with the kind of information that you just gave us here. And these are key pieces to know, because if we kind of reclaim the power to ourselves and do not become dependent on the pharmaceutical companies, then we can become free.
Mm-hmm. And we already can. We have everything we need for that.
Yeah.
It's just empowerment through knowledge. And the ranting against the machine, it's fun sometimes. It's much more fun if you have a bottle of tequila and a hot tub and, you know, but in general, instead of that, the focus is educate yourself. Realize when you look at things, keep your BS detector going, including what I say. If something feels bad, then I would take it with a grain of salt or let it go. See what feels the best to you. Let your intuition guide you with that a bit. Help you sort through the morass. Follow the money trail. That's why I'm noting I don't take money from any of the companies we mentioned. Everything that I mentioned can go, you can find on Amazon. I won't make a penny if you buy it on Amazon unless you buy the smart energy system. That's the only thing, because I make that one. But all the other stuff, if you want to say, well, how do I make sure he's not making a buck just with that? And you say, I'll get on Amazon. I'll screw that bastard. Do that. I'm a happy man. Get the what you need to do to feel safe and to do what you need to reclaim your health.
I love that. Thank you so much, Dr. Teitelbaum.
You're welcome, Michael. Aloha and be well.
Aloha. Thanks.